Otis, and I must tell you about yesterday. Yesterday was fantastic for those of you that joined us. Thank you for being here. Thank you to everybody who played a part in making the lunch and the tea in the afternoon such a big event. But we learned yesterday that not on Sunday, but on the other days of the week, if we leave our cars in the Waitrose car park for too long, there is a risk that they will attract attention and therefore a fine. And so I mention this so that we've all heard it, that if we are going to leave our cars for a period longer than 2 hours, we are now strongly advised to leave them at the long stay car park area at the back of the car park. Sundays, however, I'm delighted to announce, remain free for however long you wish to stay. Our service this morning is led by our own minister, Ros Watson, and we look forward to welcoming new members to join us here in Poynton. Ros, thank you.
Thank you, Stephen. And I want to reiterate Stephen's thanks to everybody who worked so very hard in the weeks running up to our church party yesterday and during the day. It really was a fabulous day. So I think if we can show, I can't name everybody because there's so many people that have made that work so well. So I think if we all show our appreciation with a round of applause to all those who did that. Thank you. So welcome to our service this morning. It is the sixth Sunday in Easter. And during this service, we will join together as one family to partake in Holy Communion, to share together at the Lord's table. In Methodism, of course, everyone, it's an open table, so everyone is invited to come forward. You don't have to have been baptized, be a member of this church or any other church. If you feel that you would like to come forward for bread and wine, then please do so as the stewards direct. Also this morning, we are going to welcome people who have joined us over the last 2 years, over these COVID years. This service has been in our diary several times, and then we've had to cross it out because of the fluctuations of restrictions to do with the COVID virus. And we didn't think we could possibly have this celebration without tea and cakes afterwards. You can't really, can you? So that was another thing we needed to wait for so that we could celebrate together. So it's really special that we come to this moment where we can all be together without the restrictions that we've lived under, and we can celebrate God bringing more people into our fellowship and our church family here. So let us begin by keeping quiet before God. And we join together with the words and the response that are on the screen. Alleluia, the Lord reigns.
Let the earth rejoice. Alleluia.
And we sing together, Alleluia, sing to Jesus. in a moment we're going to come to our opening prayers together. But just to let you know that we're thinking of having some healing services or services when people may wish to be anointed with holy oil. So we have the oil on the communion table this morning, and we're going to bless this oil during our service, so that when we use it, we pray that God's healing power will be spread through it. So let us pray. Glory to you, O God. You raised Jesus from the grave, bringing us victory over death and giving us eternal life. Glory to you, O Christ. For us and for our salvation, you overcame death and opened the gate to everlasting life. Glory to you, O Holy Spirit. You lead us into the truth and breathe new life into us. Glory to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forevermore. Amen. If we have fallen into despair, if we have failed to hope in you, if we have been fearful of death, if we have forgotten the victory of Christ, may the living God raise us from despair, give us victory over sin, and set us free in Christ. Amen. Almighty God, you have exalted your only Son, Jesus Christ, with great triumph to your kingdom in heaven. Merciful, give us faith to know that, as he promised, he abides with us on earth to the end of time, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And we pray a blessing over this oil. We pray, Lord, that through this oil, your Holy Spirit will bring healing and comfort, courage and encouragement. We offer this oil to you, Lord, and we pray that you will use it to make your people whole and to further your kingdom. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And we pray a blessing over the offering. We thank you, generous and gracious God, for all the gifts that you pour upon us, the blessings that we receive each day. We thank you, Lord, that we come this morning and we offer ourselves to you for your service. And we also offer monetary gifts, those in the basket and those over the internet. And we pray that you will use each to further your kingdom in this place. We also pray a blessing over those gifts for Christian aid that will be sent soon from this place. We pray again that you will use those to alleviate the difficulties and improve the lives of some of the poorest people on this earth. We thank you for the privilege of being able to give towards that work, and we pray your blessing upon it. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And so now we come to the part of our service when we're going to welcome those who've joined our family, as I said earlier, over these last 2 years, more or less, these COVID years. It's very hard. In fact, we've been trying to avoid the word new because nobody is new anymore. It's been very hard when I was writing the list to make sure I didn't miss anybody out, because everybody is, if you don't mind my saying, old faces now, oldest part of our church family here. But we just wanted to make it so special and so encouraging for all of us that people have moved into this area and moved and to be part of our church family. So we really wanted this opportunity to celebrate that together as a family. Usually in Methodism, our official way of welcoming people is to offer the hand of fellowship. But I think, considering that we're still not completely out of the pandemic, and so that everybody feels happy and safe. When I call out your name in a little while, if you'll just stand where you are, and then we'll offer you the fellowship of applause at the right moment. So, if I just call out your names, and some people are not here today, but of those of you who are here, if you would just stand, there's no particular order. I should have done alphabetical order, shouldn't I realise, but too late now. Anne Mayer. She's here. Sylvia and Richard Ratcliffe. Thank you. Marion and Ulrich Signer. Jenny Wells. Elizabeth and Ian Clayton. Jenny and Paul Campen. Susan Verghese. Rohith and Theo Gosh. Margaret and Reverend John Ingian. Hilary and the Reverend Rob Green. And we also have, who are not here today, but we'll welcome them officially another time. We also remember today Alison and Sandra Taylor Farrell, Elizabeth, Katie and Alex, and Ethel and Brian Dooley. So it's just so wonderful that you are here with us as part of this family. So let's show our gratitude. Thank you. Now, we asked some of the people who were welcoming this morning whether they would like to say a few words to tell us how they found themselves in Poynton, why they've joined our particular church family here, and where they have seen God working in that. So we're going to have in a moment Ian and Elizabeth Clayton, and then Susan Verghese, and then a little bit later on in the service we'll hear from Richard Ratcliffe, Margaret and John Ingian. So, Ian and Elizabeth, and then Susan.
Good morning. I've drawn the short straw. Ian has decided that I can share with you our journey to Poynton. It's the same journey, but there is a slight difference. 2 years ago, we decided that we needed, not wanted, but needed to live nearer to our daughter. We lived in a huge house in the Ribble Valley. It was beautiful. It backed onto open fields. We had lovely neighbours. We had a super church. But we needed to move. So we put the house up for sale. That was easy. The estate agent came, he gave us a price, went on Rightmove. The next day, we had a viewing, and that evening, we'd sold it. Now, that was the beginning of my problems, and it was the beginning of my challenge. I had lived in that area for 78 years. Ian, a little shorter than that, because you moved in when you were 16, didn't you?
I did indeed, yes.
So I was born there. I went to church there. I went to school there. I worked there. And I had friends of 50 years standing. Oh, gosh, that gave me a headache. I was in a pickle. I really was. I didn't know what to do. We'd made a definite decision, and it was a solid decision, and it was the right decision. And for weeks and weeks and weeks, I was churned up. And then one day, Ian and I pray together. And we pray separately, but we pray together. We hold hands and we pray together. And one day Ian said to me, "Just come and listen to this," he said, "what I found on YouTube." And it was Stuart Townsend, "The Lord is My Shepherd." It was Stuart's version, and I loved it. I loved it because as a young girl, I worshipped at the Gospel Hall in Blackburn. And my Sunday school teacher asked me to learn the 23rd Psalm and recite it at the Christmas Carol concert. And so I did. And I loved that psalm forever and still do. So when Ian showed me this video on YouTube of Stuart Townsend singing, two lines stuck in my head. And those lines were, "And I shall trust in you alone. I shall trust in you alone." And here I was in a pickle, not wanting to move. The house could go through and it was being sold. We'd found a bungalow in Poynton. And those lines kept coming through time and time again into my head. And in addition to that, I thought about a house that we once lived in. And there was a church there and it said, "Let go, let God." So we continued to pray, didn't we, Ian?
We did, yeah.
And gradually over the weeks, things got a bit easier for me. But I changed my prayer. And what I used to do, I used to pray. And at the end of it, I used to say, "And I shall trust in you alone. And I'm letting go, God." I was so, so upset. Anyway, removal day came. And everything was packed up. The vans were there. And Ian doesn't know this. But he was outside in the garden. And he was talking to the removal man about the journey to Poynton. And I ran round our house and I went into every single room and I said, "Thank you, house. Thank you, God, because this has been absolutely wonderful." I went into the dining room and I imagined that all our family was sat round the dining table and I said our little prayer. "Thank you, Lord, for the food that we're going to eat, but please make us mindful of the needs of others." So in the car we got, and we trundled down to Poynton, didn't we? It's not been easy. The bungalow was a lot worse than we thought it was. The bathroom ceiling fell in, and it was a nightmare, really. But I still hung on to, "And I shall trust in you alone." And I just wished I'd have trusted a bit sooner. I'd like to thank Ros for making us welcome, for spending time with us. I'd like to thank the Bible study group, which is brilliant. I mean, we study, but we have a few laughs as well, don't we, Jean? And I'd like to thank the Methodist Church in Macclesfield because they've made us so welcome joining their walking group. And I'd like to thank you all. I've got to know some people better than others, haven't we?
You have, yes.
And we hope to get to know people, more people. So thank you very much. And that's the story of our journey. I hope I haven't overrun Ross.
Lovely. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to say something now?
I'm not going to be outdone. I endorse everything she said.
Oh. Now you know why I said it.
Thank you for really welcoming Rohit, Theo and I to Poynton. We moved in February last year from Manchester, and before that we were in Leeds, where Theo was born. It took a while to kind of get to know people because we moved during the pandemic, but I got to know especially the people running the toddler group, Annie and the other volunteers who ran the Thursday group as well as Rhyme Time with Annie. I've grown up as a Christian and as a Methodist as a child. I've lived sort of all different parts of the country, born in Wales, grew up a bit in Glasgow, I sort of did my GCSEs and A-levels in Keswick. And my parents are active members of their local Methodist village church in Stainton near Penrith. And this is where we had our marriage blessed 5 years ago. Rohit grew up in Bombay in India, and he is also a Christian, and his parents, his mum is from Goa, and she grew up in the Catholic faith, and his parents still live in Bombay, and he hopes to visit them sometime soon, so the pandemic has just made that quite difficult. And we're really looking forward to, you know, Theo meeting his Indian grandparents that live in Bombay. Then there's Theo, and he's going to be 3 in July. He's a big fan of cars. He's got cars all over his outfits today. And he wants a car ride every morning, so I have to kind of be up early and take him out somewhere. He really enjoys Rhyme Time on Tuesday, and I'm helping with that, lead that with Alison. And we have a small number of children that attend regularly for half an hour of singing and playing. Roz asked me to really explain to you why my faith has kind of, you know, developed and grown. And it was really lovely to hear about your story about saying about the Lord is my shepherd is a favorite verse for you. And ironically, that is kind of really resonates with me in particular. I used to kind of recite it as a young girl. And in particular, my faith has grown over the last 10 or so years as I've had a sort of near-death experience. And that was on July 7th, 2005. I was a survivor of the London bombings in 2005. I was on the Russell Square tube, not far from where 26 people died, very, very close to me. It's impacted my life hugely, but it's given me a second chance to live. And I guess during that sort of healing, given me a lot of chance to kind of make an impact, especially in the work I do. To get to that period of time took me a while. I've had the support of my family and loved ones around me. I plucked up the courage to kind of continue on in my passion, which is in education. So I took the courage to step out of my comfort zone after that incident. And in 2011, I took on a project to train teachers in East Malaysia in Borneo. That was a huge kind of undertaking, but I kind of rose to the challenge, and it really kind of gave me the courage to kind of move my life on and work with teachers that were passionate, and also to improve the teaching of primary school children in Malaysia. And also, I think it was a sign from God more recently. So when Theo was born, he was born on the 1st of July. And July has always been a difficult month for me because this incident happened to me in 2005 on the 7th of July. But Theo was born on the 1st of July, and I didn't really know how to feel about that. But now it's a different for me, because now I can celebrate his life, even though something tragic has happened to me. So every July we take ourselves off to somewhere nice, and this year we're going to Spain. So today I also want to kind of remember the lives lost in the Manchester attack. So today is the anniversary of the Manchester bombings, 5 years ago today. And I guess for me, that also is a sort of, tragic event, because so many lives were lost there, and young lives. And Manchester is a, holds a great place in my heart, because I went to university there and I also lived there for a long time. So it's been really lovely getting to know you all over the last year, and thank you so much to Roz for coming to see us and getting to know us better. It's been lovely to sort of see all of you regularly, the people that I kind of, work on a voluntary basis with. I'm also learning the ropes with getting the services onto the computer, and Mandy's teaching me the ropes. And yeah, thank you, Mandy, for being patient with teaching us. So it's good that I can help out with that. And yeah, really looking forward to kind of getting to know you all in the weeks and years to come. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. You share such a lot with us. That's really moving and really humbling and really good to hear how God has worked in your lives through some very difficult times as well as some joyous times. In a little while later, we'll hear some more testimonies, but now we're going to hear our reading, please, from Alison. Thank you, Alison.
A reading from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 21. Love in action. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen.
Thank you, Alison. And so let us pray. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, just prior to the passage that Alison has read for us just now, Paul has been speaking about the church as the body of Christ, with many members and many gifts and talents, all joined together with Christ as head. He says there that the Holy Spirit gives gifts and talents to each person, but not for the individual's glory, but for the building up of the body of the church family. We together here are the body of Christ in this place. Everyone is a part. Everyone has a part to play. And everyone is needed for the whole to function. We all need each other. Then in the passage that we have just heard, Paul goes on to explain how, given all of this, the body should behave. In my Bible, and I think Alison said the same, it's entitled Love in Action. So as the body of Christ, we should be love in action. And the Greek for love that Paul uses here in this passage means family love. So we are a family, sharing family love together because we are one family. In the church, we aren't strangers. We aren't individuals isolated from each other. We are sisters and brothers in Christ because we have God as our Father, and we are connected to each other and every other Christian in the world by the Holy Spirit. So we are bound together by the one Spirit. It's often said, isn't it, that blood is thicker than water. For us, we are saved and joined together by the blood of Christ and adopted into God's family as heirs and sisters and brothers of Christ. That's mind-blowing, isn't it? And it is such an immense privilege to be part of a church family. Very special. Each one of us belongs here, and all equally, no one more than anyone else. All human beings, I think, need to belong, to have somewhere where they are known, where they are cared for and supported, accepted for just who they are, and nurtured into who they can become. That belonging may take many forms and be found in many places, and certainly many people will try to find it in places and activities that sometimes are not for their good. But for those of us here, we can find that belonging here in this church, in this family. But of course, this is not a closed club. Everyone, whoever walks through that door, everyone and anyone, or who meets any of us as we are out and about in the world beyond these walls, should feel straight away that they belong here, that they are welcome, that their presence, their contribution is valued, and that we would not be whole without them. Here in this house, there should be no fear of saying or doing the wrong thing, sitting in the wrong chair, or not knowing the hymns, or when to stand up, or when to sit down. I remember not long before I went into ministry in my home church, we had a big event. I can't remember now, maybe it was harvest or something like that, a big meal. And this church had a very large hall and had two kitchens, a bigger sort of more of a catering kitchen at one end and more of a snack coffee kitchen at the other end. And it was such a big gathering that we needed all the cutlery from both of these kitchens. And so at the end of this event, I was there with a few people at about 10 o'clock when it was dark, still tidying up, still washing and drying up cutlery and putting it away. You had to use a trolley to trolley it down to each of the kitchens. Well, when I next went to church the next Sunday, I was met by an extremely irate member of the catering committee, asking me, holding the plastic tubs that these marked spoons, forks, whatever, holding these in front of me, saying, "You mixed up the cutlery from those two kitchens." I have no idea to this day how they knew the difference. None of them were gold-plated or whatever. But yes, there'd obviously been an inquiry in the interim, and I hold up my hands, it will have been me who did it. And I have to say, and I'm only telling you here, and I should repent of it, especially in the light of that reading, it occurred to me that maybe I would just go in every so often and mix up the cutlery. But I didn't. I didn't. Pray for my soul, but I didn't. I didn't. Happily, even at the time, I did find some amusement in it, and certainly now I can laugh about it a lot. But it's actually really horrible, isn't it, when something like that happens to you within a church, within a church family. It feels so unloving and so unwelcoming if you feel as though you daren't touch anything or move anything, or that you might make some unwitting mistake and find yourself in trouble. That's not, of course, how a church family should be. The family love we share should encourage us, should make us feel safe to make mistakes, should hold us up and help each one of us to grow in the knowledge and love of God and move together towards Christ-likeness. And in turn, then our church family will be infused with more and more love, so that even the most hesitant person will feel confident that they will find a home here, where they will belong to the family and will see and meet Jesus for themselves. I hope that everybody here today feels that they belong in this church family, in this body of Christ, in this house of God. I hope that everyone here today feels equal, whether you're one of the longest standing members or one of the more recent members, whether you're one of the oldest or one of the youngest. Just for a moment, just where you are, have a think and see if you can think of one word that sums up what belonging here means to you. Just have a think. What does belonging here mean to you? Any offers? Important. It's important to you. Thank you. Any other offers?
Friendship.
Thank you.
Part of the fabric.
Part of the fabric. Thank you.
A home.
A home. Thank you.
Peace.
Thank you. Accepted and loved. Thank you.
Supported.
Thank you.
Part of the furniture.
Part of the furniture. Thank you. Perhaps we can keep on thinking of those things as we carry on with our service and maybe share some of those together when we go for tea and coffee and cake at the end of the service. So we celebrate and give thanks to God for calling us to be part of this church family and all that that means to each one of us as we live together as Christians in this place. So church family in action is then love that must be sincere, be devoted to one another, honour one another above ourselves, never be lacking in zeal, but keeping our spiritual fervour in serving the Lord, being joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, sharing with the Lord's people who are in need and practising hospitality. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn and live in harmony with each other. Amen. And now we hear from Richard Ratcliffe and then Margaret and John Ingian.
First of all, can I say on behalf of my wife Sylvia and I how much we appreciate the welcome we've had in Poynton since we came here last July. And it's also lovely to see a full face at last. Yeah. It's been very difficult to get to know you because you've only had half a face showing. We've all been wearing masks. So we look forward to getting to know you better now that we can see you better as well. In a few weeks' time, Sylvia and I will be celebrating our 58th wedding anniversary. We were married at Rowson Street Methodist Church in New Brighton. That's part of Wallasey, if you don't know it. And I was born and brought up in South Warwickshire in a Methodist church. Sylvia was born and brought up in New Brighton. And moving away from New Brighton, when we did eventually move, was quite a wrench for her. But she supported me all the way through our 58 years together. Our three children were born in New Brighton. Peter in 1967, who is now a vicar in South Wales. Andrew in 1969, who is now a postman in Sleaford in Lincolnshire. And Marianne in 1972, who now lives in Macclesfield, and she's the reason why we're here in Poynton. We've got, like so many of you, we've moved nearer our children so that we could be grandparents if necessary, but also help in other ways as well in their particularly busy married lives. In 1972, after teaching at the Bluecoat School in Liverpool for 10 years, I moved to Lincolnshire and took Sylvia and the three children. Marianne was only 7 weeks old when we moved, so it was quite an interesting move with a young baby at that time. But in Lincolnshire, I was the warden at the teacher centre. Then I became a year group leader in Lincoln itself and a deputy head back in Gainsborough where we had settled. Sylvia, with her young family, had to give up teaching, but she was able to do supply teaching, help with the girls' brigade at St. Stephen's Methodist Church, and learn to drive a car. That was very important, living so far away from her parents, who still lived in Wallasey, and she learned to drive a car in Gainsborough, was able to drive her all the way across to Wallasey and back in the day, which was quite an achievement for her. That was before the M62 was opened. Our children flourished at school in Gainsborough. Peter went on to Durham University. Andrew to St Andrews, apparently to study geology, but it was golf and the 19th hole that seemed to take much of his time up. And Marianne, she moved with us when we moved from Gainsborough to Clacton-on-Sea and spent 2 years at Colchester High School before she went on to Clare College at Cambridge and ended up with a first class honours degree, the first member of our family to get such an achievement, and then to take up a PhD with UCL. During my time in Lincolnshire, I helped to found the Lincolnshire Family History Society, which still flourishes with over 3,000 members. Did a lot of lecturing in the evening to evening classes. When you're with a class of young children during the day, it's nice to have a moment of sanity in the evening with adults. Children can be very wary, as you can appreciate. However, things eventually had to change, and I'd been trying for deputy headships. We had been somewhat held up in our progress because Sylvia's mother had also Parkinson's disease, and we took her in and moved, had to move house for that purpose, and for 5 years she was part of our family. Very difficult with a young family as well to have somebody with Parkinson's disease, but eventually she had to go into a home where she got excellent care, but it was only after she died that we felt that we could really seek any further change in our prospects. And I started applying for jobs all over the place. I was told if I got an interview, you've done very well. 200 people applied for this job. That was how it was in the 1980s. But eventually I got a job as the head of a village school in Essex. So we moved from Lincolnshire to Essex. And things then made a dramatic change because while we'd been in Lincolnshire, Sylvia had also been taking evening classes in car maintenance to keep the car on the road. And also she started a class called Computers of Fun. They still are for her today. But she worked up through Computers of Fun, GCSE, A-level, and when we got to London, Essex, she found a post at Clapham in Junction in southwest London that were looking for a computer teacher of sixth form pupils. So she commuted from Clacton to London each day, 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours in the evening, for some time before she got lodgings in London. Just a temporary job. It lasted 16 years. But it also meant that once Marianne had graduated from Cambridge, she got a PhD course at UCL in London, so she would be moving to London. So Sylvia very cleverly found a small flat in Westminster, which we had for about 10 years or so, and we had a London base as well as a Clacton base. So while Sylvia was busy in London teaching the sixth formers, I was also getting very busy in church life in the Clacton-on-Sea area. I got the opportunity to take early retirement from teaching, having built the school up from 99 pupils to 200 and so, lots of temporary classes, but we were always short of money and the budget didn't balance out. As head teacher, you've got the biggest salary in the school, but as a starting teacher, they would start off as half the salary of a head teacher or thereabouts. So when the opportunity came to take early retirement, I took it so that the school could then employ two young teachers instead of one fuddy-duddy at the top end of the school. But that gave me an opportunity to get involved in Methodism that I appreciate to this day. I was able to share the flat with my wife and daughter in London, only 10 minutes walk from Westminster Methodist Central Hall. I was able to attend Synod, that wonderful, meeting of great minds in Methodism in each district. And it often meant travelling 100 miles to Cambridge and places like that to attend. But I also got involved in fundraising for the church in Clacton-on-Sea. They wanted to refurbish it so that some of the unused rooms could be put to good use in the community for community and Christian activities. So who got the job of being chairman of the fundraising committee? Oh, we only need to raise about £200,000. Well, I've never done that kind of raising of money before. But God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. And one member of the church, who was a keen stamp collector, put in a bid at a stamp auction for a job lot of old envelopes and things like that. When he got home, he found that he'd got a postcard that had been posted at Cherbourg by a passenger on the Titanic. So he said, I'm going to give this to the church, we'll put it in an auction and see how we get on. It raised over £4,000. That started the ball rolling, and the money started coming in. It was an amazing experience. One Saturday morning, the minister rang me up very early. I've just had the post, and there's a cheque for £50,000 in it. Do you think it's genuine? Well, we were able to prove it was genuine. It was a former member of the church who'd moved away 30 years before, but one lady in the church sent her the church notices every month, so she was kept informed of where what was happening in her old church. She sent this check for £50,000. We raised the money. The work was done. And then another experience where you have these experiences in life. You don't think at the time that it's God behind it. It's only when you look back and you see that a mysterious being was doing great things. And the minister of our church in Clacton had been at college in Handsworth, Birmingham, with Stuart Burgess, who was the president of the conference in 2001. So we approached Stuart to come and open the, or dedicate the development. On the morning of the great day, when he was going to come down from London, he'd been staying with friends in London and attending meetings at Methodist Church House, phone call at 20 past 12 from the minister. Stuart's stuck. The overhead electric lines are down at Witham. I've told him to get on a train at Liverpool Street and go to Bishop Stortford. Can you go and collect him? Well, Bishop Stortford from Clacton-on-Sea is approximately 50 miles, bypassing Colchester but going through Braintree and Stansted Airport. I was just about to set out for the church to make sure that everything was ready for the 3 o'clock service, to which the whole of the district had been invited. Got in the car, dreading the journey, because I've been along that H120 many times, and there's always queues around Braintree, always queues around Stansted Airport, queues around the M11 junction. The needle on my car stuck on 70 miles an hour all the way to Braintree and on to Bishop Stortford. The whole outside lane was empty. I'm sure there was somebody going along with a red flag in front of me, clearing the road. There was Stuart at the station waiting to be picked up. We got in. I said, I've had an amazing journey. It can't happen twice. It did. And at 10 to 3, I walked into church with Stuart. He grabbed a sausage roll from the feast that was to follow the service, put his gown on, straight in, and our service progressed. That was a wonderful feeling. I'm sure God was blessing us that day. I got so much more that I could say, but I'm running out of time. That's being a teacher, that's what happens, isn't it? But just to say very briefly that we had a wonderful time in London, we had a wonderful time then in Warwick, and now we're looking forward to a wonderful time in Portland.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, good morning, or still morning, not quite afternoon. Good morning to you all, and thank you for this lovely occasion of a special church celebration to get together over after such a long time, and for some of us for the first time, and especially for this welcome service to those of us who've only come quite recently. Well, I'm John, a retired Methodist minister who many, many years ago trained just down the road at Hartley Victoria College, the celebrated jam factory, of course, and also at Manchester University. Whilst John is a very familiar Christian name, my surname, I believe, is unique. In fact, I would be absolutely completely surprised if any of you in future come up to me and say you found another Ingyon around, because that's my surname. and I do believe it is unique. Ingyon, I-N-G-Y-O-N. Growing up, I wondered if I had Chinese or French ancestors, but I did eventually discover that the name comes from a very common Welsh word, a Welsh word, Enion, E-N-N-I-O-N. So if you say, you know, Enion quickly, Ingyon quickly, they're not that far apart. And Enion actually means an anvil. And indeed, tracing my surname back, I did find that one of my ancestors was a blacksmith. So that was very appropriate. So from college, leaving Hartley Victoria, I was able to spend a year studying with the Methodist Church in Dallas, Texas. So that was very entertaining, very interesting, and we enjoyed the year very much indeed. When we came back from Texas, my first appointment was to the new town of Newton Aycliffe in County Durham, where I had no physical church building, but we were a roaming congregation in a new town, which also was really fascinating and very interesting. From there, I was sent to Newcastle-on-Tyne, where I was the chaplain to students and nurses, both at the university and the polytechnic there, which is superbly interesting and enlightening appointment. From there, I moved to Sherwood in Nottingham, and thence to Newark, and finally to Sutton Coalfield, North Birmingham, in the year 2000. We both feel that I was very fortunate to be sent to such different and varied appointments. I did finally retire in 2010, and we settled in Sutton Coalfield, North Birmingham, both working and preaching, some part-time retired work, until COVID then struck. Life has changed for so many people since then, and I did finally retire, and in Methodist terms, sit down properly, in Methodist jargon, early last year. My other interests since retirement have revolved around the Probus Club back in Sutton Coalfield, and I hope to take that up locally, the U3A, and travelling as much as we've been able to and keeping up with our family. And I'll leave the other interesting bits to my wife. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Margaret, a retired teacher, enjoying very different teaching jobs throughout my sort of 40 years in education, ranging with children from 4 years old, which was when we were in Texas and I had to learn to pledge allegiance to the flag every morning with these little four-year-olds, and I had to learn about bananas and tomatoes and things like that. Not my favourite age group, I have to say, but then up to 18-year-olds as I continued my career, as we had our family and moved around the country. John and I met at university in Newcastle-upon-Tyne, and we do still feel drawn to the northeast and that wonderful Northumbrian coastline. We have a son, Simon, who lives in Surbiton with his wife, Karen, and two granddaughters. Daughter, Alison, with her husband, Dave, Joshua, and Erin, who live nearby in Bramall. COVID faced us with the distances between us all and the difficulties of meeting up. Thus we decided, as old age was creeping on, and while we felt we were still young, although we debate that now, we needed to be nearer to one family. Hence we moved to be near Alison along the road in Bramall, and were very fortunate due to her work and Dave's work rushing around this area as we looked, as they found properties for us. But because of COVID, it was a difficult time because we couldn't look at properties inside until we'd sold. Unlike a couple over there, we did lose our first buyer, but very quickly got another one. And eventually, the Monday before Christmas, we finally moved into Poynton. I'd already said to Alison, no, I'm not moving in the autumn. You know, we need a summer move. In Methodism, we've always moved in the summer, and I couldn't foresee any other. But December the 20th came, and we did move into Poynton. We managed to come to covenant service here, and then things changed. Thankfully, Roz had been to visit us already before we moved, and it was then early July that John suffered the first of his two strokes, not part of the plan for moving to the north, west, and certainly not planned for my daughter, who thought it would be nice to have us here. But as they carried on with, well, they both caught COVID, John was in hospital, it was a difficult time. But I have to mention the flower ministry from this church, with Julie and Alison certainly bringing flowers into our home in those anxious months of January, February, made us feel, even then, although we'd only physically been once into the church, very much part of this lovely family here, which is why I say the word home, because we really did feel we'd come home. One or two of you might remember, while I was able to come to church when John was in longer, I would rapidly write notes of the hymns we were singing, the readings, took in the notices, and I did explain to the people sitting around, I'm not here in any judge or anything, it was to keep John involved. But thankfully for prayer from friends, and this is the joy of Methodist ministry, right from the northeast, right through to the Midlands, friends we've made around the country, John is making, as most of you are aware now, a wonderful recovery. The support we've received and the welcome has made us feel very much at home. Thank you. My own interests in church life have moved from youth work when we were younger, but more recently, centering around fair trade, tradecraft in particular, and Christian aid. And I look forward to following up on these within this church family. Thank you all very much.
Thank you for sharing your lives, your story with us this morning. I think it's been really moving, hasn't it? And I think we'll give another round of applause to those who've come out to do it. I think it's sometimes it's much easier to say yes and it's much easier to write it down, but it's another thing to come to the front and share such things. So it really is wonderful that you've done that and blessed us this morning. And we've heard how God has worked in your lives. So now we join together in our prayers of intercession. Let us pray. In the power of the resurrection, we offer our prayers to God. Let us pray. Remember, O Lord, in your love, the church throughout the world, those recently baptized and confirmed, all those who minister to others. May your whole church know your power and be a sign that Christ is risen. Lord of life, hear us in your love. Remember in your love the world you have made, those who seek a fair and proper use of the world's resources, those who strive for justice and peace among the nations. We again pray for the nation of Ukraine, for all those nations in the vicinity who are nervous of the future. And we pray for the nation of Russia. And we pray, Lord, for peace and justice in that area. May the whole earth be transformed by mercy and rejoice in hope. Lord of life, hear us in our love. Remember in your love those who suffer, the victims of violence and injustice, and those who mourn. And this morning we particularly remember the family of Marion and Frank Bamford, and the family of Mary Beck. May all in need find comfort, strength, and freedom in the living Christ, Lord of life. Hear us in your love. Remember in your love those who have died, Mary and Frank and Mary, those who have confessed the faith, and those whose faith is known to you alone. May all your children receive grace and light according to their needs, and come at last to share with all the saints in life eternal. Lord of life, hear us in your love. And this morning we remember Phil and Bernie Maltby, very much members of this church family, who set off today on their great adventure. We pray, you Lord, your blessing upon them for safe journeys and a walk with you. Gracious God, we ask these prayers through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Saviour. Amen. As our Saviour taught his disciples to pray, we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And now we share the peace together from our places. So please stand if you are able, or if you prefer to remain seated, please do. The risen Christ came and stood among his disciples and said, "Peace be with you." Then they were glad when they saw the Lord. Alleluia. The peace of the risen Christ always be with you. So let us offer each other the wave of peace. And we sing together our communion hymn, "As your family, Lord, see us here." Bread, God's good gift. It will become for us the bread of life. Here is wine, God's good gift.
It will become for us the cup of
salvation. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give us thanks.
Blessing and honour, glory and power are rightly yours, all gracious God. By your creative word, you brought the world to birth. In your generous love, you made the human family, that we might see your glory and live forever in your presence. Blessing and honour, glory and power are rightly yours, all gracious God. When we wandered from you in our sin, you sought us with your steadfast love and did not give us up. In the fullness of time, you sent your Son to be our Saviour and Deliverer. Made of flesh and blood, he lived our life and died our death upon the cross. Death could not hold him, and now he reigns at your right hand. Blessing and honour, glory and power are rightly yours, all gracious God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we bless and praise your glorious name, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed indeed is the Lord Jesus Christ, who at supper with his friends took bread and gave you thanks, broke it and gave it to them and said, Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When supper was ended, he took the cup and gave you thanks and gave it to them and said, Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for everyone, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Therefore, Father, we celebrate this Passover of gladness. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of praise. Send your Holy Spirit, that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us, the body and blood of Christ. Gather us who share this feast into the kingdom of your glory, that with all your people in every time and place, we may praise and worship you forever through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory are yours, Heavenly Father, now and always. Amen. The things of God for God's holy people. Jesus Christ is holy. Jesus Christ is Lord. Glory to God the Father. Amen. Please be seated. In a moment, as the stewards, communion stewards, direct you, please come forward to take communion. I'll be in the middle, and the stewards on either side with bread, and then there's baskets at the side for your empty glasses. We're going to try to do it a little bit more smoothly than sometimes happens. So what we're going to try to do is, if the people on this side go up when you're invited, up to the back and then down the middle and back, and the people on this side again when you're invited, if you can make your way around the back and down the middle. So if we get it wrong, it doesn't matter, but we're going to try. So we meet the risen Christ in the breaking of the bread. Draw near with faith. Keep you in eternal life. body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. Body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. Body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. And the body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The
body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. Body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. Body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. Body of Christ keep you in eternal life. Body of Christ keep you in eternal life. Amen. Now let us pray. God of our salvation, we thank you for our communion with the risen Christ and with all who love him in earth and heaven. We pray that strengthened by his grace, we may serve you faithfully all our days through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In a moment we'll sing our final hymn together this morning, after which there will be tea, coffee, and cakes. So we stand to sing, "Let Us Build a House." So let us pray. God of our salvation, we thank you for our communion with the risen Christ and with all who love him in earth and heaven. We pray that strengthened by his grace, we may serve you faithfully all our days through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And I realise I've just gone back to before the hymn, haven't I? Right, okay, let's have a blessing. Christ our King, you make us faithful and strong to do his will, that we may reign with him in glory. And may Almighty God bless us, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Alleluia. Go in joy and peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Alleluia. I think we all need a cup of tea, don't we?